RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listener, welcome to English Bulletin program of a Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesia Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment Music Corner. That was our program summary for today, listener. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
La Voz de Indonesia con las noticias.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo wants law reform to be intensified. Minister for Political, Legal and Security says operation of Levi's eradication warmly welcomed. Indonesia inviting the United States to develop air transportation. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo reminded his ministers and staffs to intensify the first phase of law reform, namely the Saber Pungli or Illegal Levies Eradication Task Force in public service sector. It was stated in his opening remark on the Cabinet Limited Meeting on Law Reform Phase 2 on Tuesday in Jakarta. According to him, the law reform measures should be followed by a systematic reform to put it as an entrance into a better public service. To this end, the president emphasized that the law reform should be focused on structuring legislations.
I want to reiterate that legal reform should not only reach downstream side and the public service, but also the upstream, by managing legislations and procedures. I therefore ask the legislation management should be prioritized this time. Furthermore, President Joko Widodo in his remark mentioned that the legislation management should be conducted toward overlapping legislations. According to him, it was aimed at increasing Indonesia's competitiveness in global competition. The president also reminded to focus the 2017 development to eradicate social gaps and inequality before the law in the community. Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Wiranto stated that the operation of illegal levies eradication Saber Pungli as part of the first stage of legal reform is getting a warm welcome from the people. After attending a limited cabinet meeting at the State Palace in Jakarta Tuesday, Wiranto said the good reception could be seen from at least 22,000 direct reports from people on illegal levies in the regions. Based on the report, he said, the government has carried out 81 operations against extortion public service centers. He also stressed that the operation will continue to free the community from illegal levies.
Mengenai Saber Pungli, Satuan Tugas Sapu Bersih Pungutan Liar. Ternyata
Saber Pungli or Illegal
Levies
Eradication Task Force has got positive response from the public. People are participating in the activities of the task force. It is proven by 22,000 reports received by the task force through website, text messages or call center directly only in the last 2 months. People had also seen 81 arrest operations. The instruction of the president will continue to be implemented until the country is free from illegal levies.
Sampai benar-benar pungutan liar ini bersih ya dari kehidupan kita sebagai bangsa.
Minister Wiranto said further that the first stage of legal reform will be continued until all targets are achieved. In terms of combating smuggling, Wiranto said, the government is still seeking full information about the entry and exit points of the smugglers. Related to prisons with exceeded capacity, the government is still conducting studies about the outermost island in Indonesia for building prisons. Meanwhile, there is agreement among various parties involved in effort to create traffic ticket through electronic tickets. Electronic ticket or e-ticket has been implemented in some regions and will continue to be developed all over Indonesia. Indonesian Transportation Ministry is getting more promote cooperation with the United States in increasing aviation capacity and building people's ability on air transportation in Indonesia. The Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi said that Indonesia has received Category 1 status in the U.S. Federal Aviation Administration. Indonesians should be able to maintain the recognition to give benefit for Indonesia and the U.S. Minister Budi Karya on the Aviation Working Group seminar held in Jakarta Tuesday, January 17, 2017, said that with the Category 1 status, Indonesian Airways Garuda Indonesia had a chance to fly to U.S. Through the cooperation, Budi Karya asked the United States to be Indonesian partner in managing the flight information region.
Indonesia membutuhkan suatu teman dalam mengorganisir.
Indonesia need a partner to organize flight information region in Indonesia, and we believe the U.S. have great experience to support our activity. U.S. aviation world with today's activity can support Indonesian activities, especially Soekarno-Hatta Airport that has been finished and completed. This cooperation can make Indonesia more competitive, and collaboration between Indonesian and the U.S. will run better. Minister Budi Karya hope through the U.S. good competence, this working group seminar can increase the existing cooperation. On the same occasion, American Ambassador to Indonesia Joseph Donovan said that the U.S. is willing to continue strategic partnership in the aviation sector. The U.S. government and U.S.-based companies have committed to support Indonesian Transportation Ministry to strengthen aviation sector. Minister of Transportation Budi Karya Sumadi invites U.S. investors to invest in two airports in Indonesia. The airport, namely Kuala Namu Airport, located in Medan, North Sumatra, and Sepinggan Airport, Balikpapan, East Kalimantan. Minister Budi Karya Sumadi at the Aviation Working Group seminar held in Jakarta Tuesday, January 17, 2017, explained the ministry invites investors to develop technologies at the airport. With the incoming investment, the airport could increase the competition value.
Tapi kita juga berharap bahwasanya kita punya dua bandara, yaitu.
We also hope Kuala Namu and Balikpapan Airport are ready to invite foreign investors to invest and develop the two airports, so that the public-private partnership project, particularly for these two airports, can be an investment facility and cooperation which will be more intensive. Minister Budi Karya Sumadi further explained the assets ownership of the two airports will not be entirely removed. Investor will become a minority shareholder of the two airports. In the same occasion, the United States Ambassador to Indonesia, Joseph Donovan, said the United States looks forward to cooperate with the Indonesian government. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Cabinet Secretary Pramono Anung on Tuesday in Jakarta said that tolerance is a must for Indonesian people. Pramono said, Indonesia is a pluralistic nation with diversity. Therefore, he said, the Indonesian people must cling to the tolerance.
Jadi hal yang berkaitan dengan toleransi itu hal yang tidak bisa terbantahkan.
Tolerance is irrefutable because our nation was born multicultural and this huge country is not homogeneous. So the issue of tolerance is very important. Pramono Anung said further that President Joko Widodo has provided direction to his subordinate to strengthen tolerance in Indonesia, including through the establishment of the Council of National Harmony, the State Defense Movement, and education of ideology of Pancasila. He also said, strengthening the tolerance in Indonesia is a long journey to the future that must be rooted firmly in the community. The 15th Asia Cup Provision Dialogue meeting that was held in Abu Dhabi, United Arab Emirates, on Tuesday, January 17, 2017, with the theme Abu Dhabi, the capital of sustainable energy, was participated in by 34 member countries of Asia Cooperation Dialogue, including Indonesia. According to Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno LP Marsudi, during her opening speech at the 15th Asia Cooperation meeting, said that Indonesia makes sustainable issue as the main focus in Asia Cooperation Dialogue. Indonesia is also one of the initiator of Energy Action Plan and co-prime mover of interrelation of food, water, and energy security in the meeting. The minister stated the importance of friendly environment energy use as create sustainable energy that can support development continuously in Asia. Responding to the energy security issue, Minister Retno specifically said the importance of coordination in managing energy in the regional level. Well-designed and integrated approach are two steps to handle energy security. The 15th Asia Cooperation Dialogue, that was directly led by the United Arab Emirates Foreign Minister, Sheikh Abdullah bin Zayed bin Sultan Al Nahyan, has agreed Abu Dhabi Declaration, ACD Energy Action Plan 2017-2019 document and concept paper on energy, water, and food nexus to boost new energy for Asia Cooperation Dialogue member states in focusing cooperation in energy sector. The last item, four countries have shown interest to finance Jakarta-Surabaya Railway Revitalization Project. The project is expected to improve the speed of Jakarta-Surabaya train to around 150 km per hour. Transportation Ministry official Prasetyo Budi Cahyo said, those countries had expressed their commitment to be engaged on the Jakarta-Surabaya Railway project. Japan's Prime Minister Shinzo Abe had expressed his commitment early last year to finance the mega project through government debt. Follow-up discussions at ministerial level had been held ever since. Japan's interest in the project intensifies as Mr. Abe visited Indonesia last week. The agenda items discussed in the meeting was Jakarta-Surabaya Railway Project, among others. Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi said that President Joko Widodo had allowed Japan to submit the mega project's financing proposal. The government will soon prepare the feasibility study. However, Prasetyo said that despite such interest, the government has yet to commence a feasibility study on the project. Moreover, the government has yet to include the feasibility study budget in 2017 state budget or APBN. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian President Joko Widodo wants law reform to be intensified. Minister for Political, Legal and Security says operation of Levi's eradication warmly welcomed. Indonesia inviting the United States to develop air transportation. That was the news.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with commentary entitled Paris Conference for Palestine. Tomorrow on January 20, 2017 will be a historic day for the United States as Donald Trump will become the 45th president of the U.S. Instead being pleased that Trump become president, Palestine is worried, even angry, because if Trump remain on his promise, the U.S. will open its embassy in Jerusalem. For Israel, it became one of the strong supports to control East Jerusalem claimed by the Palestinians as their future capital. Donald Trump himself seems to play games in the issue of Jerusalem. Opening an embassy in Jerusalem to please Israel hardliner and still maintaining the embassy in Tel Aviv to calm the country supporting the Palestinians. French, which support Palestine as a state, rushed to hold an international conference on Palestine on Sunday, January 15, attended by delegates from 70 countries, including Indonesia. Unfortunately, like in the previous Paris conference, Israel still refused to be present. According to French Foreign Minister Marc-Jean Ayrault, the conference in Paris agreed on a map of the Palestinian border in 1967. At that time, Israel has not occupied the West Bank and East Jerusalem. Although many countries attended, this conference was not binding and only advised the Palestinians and Israel to negotiate directly. Israel today is like getting the upper hand because Trump openly supports Israel in contrast to the previous U.S. President Barack Obama. Then, Israel was angry because Obama did not support an expansion of areas in the Palestinian territories. American-Israeli bilateral relations during Obama was the worst. Indonesia, which always supports Palestine, remained in its positions of a two-state solution. At the Paris conference, the support was reaffirmed by Deputy Foreign Minister A.M. Fakhrir. Palestine also continues to ask Indonesia's help, especially in rallying support from Pacific countries that tend to be pro-Israel. This is an opportunity for Indonesia to prove its support to Palestine through diplomacy to neighboring countries. Listener, that was commentary for today. I'm Dee Nugraha. Thank you for listening.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, we meet again in our regular Today in History over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. We start from an event on January 18, 1919, when the Paris Peace Conference was held. The Paris Peace Conference, also known as Versailles Peace Conference, was the meeting of the Allied victors following the end of World War I to set the peace terms for the defeated Central Powers following the armistice of 1918. It took place in Paris during 1919 and involved diplomats from more than 32 countries and nationalities led by the Prime Minister of France, Georges Clemenceau. The major decisions were the creation of the League of Nations, the five peace treaties with defeated enemies, including the Treaty of Versailles with Germany, the awarding of German and Ottoman overseas possessions as mandates, chiefly to Britain and France, reparations imposed on Germany, and the drawing of new national boundaries, sometimes with plebiscites, to better reflect the forces of nationalism. The main result was the Treaty of Versailles with Germany, which in Section 231 laid the guilt for the war on the aggression of Germany and her allies. This provision proved humiliating for Germany and set the stage for very high reparations Germany was supposed to pay. It paid only a small portion before reparations ended in 1931. The next event was in 1946 when the Beatles became international stars. The Beatles were an English rock band, formed in Liverpool in 1960, with members John Lennon, Paul McCartney, George Harrison, and Ringo Starr. They became widely regarded as the foremost and most influential act of the rock era. Rooted in skiffle, beat, and 1950s rock and roll, the Beatles later experimented with several genres, ranging from pop ballads and Indian music to psychedelia and hard rock, often incorporating classic elements in innovative ways. In the early 1960s, their enormous popularity first emerged as Beatlemania, but as the group's music grew in sophistication, led by primary songwriters Lennon and McCartney, they came to be perceived as an embodiment of the idols shared by the counterculture of the 1960s. They gained popularity in the United Kingdom after their first hit, Love Me Do, in late 1962. They acquired the nickname the Fab Four as Beatlemania grew in Britain over the following year, and by early 1964, they had become international stars, leading the British invasion of the United States pop market. And the last event was in 2000, when fragments of the Turkish Lake meteorite landed upon the Earth. Fragments of the Turkish Lake meteorite landed upon the Earth on January 18, 2000, after a large meteorite exploded in the upper atmosphere at altitudes of 50 to 30 kilometers or 31 to 19 miles, with an estimated total energy release of about 1.7 kilotons. Following the reported sighting of a fireball in southern Yukon and northern British Columbia, Canada, more than 500 fragments of the meteorite were collected from the lake's frozen surface. Post-event atmospheric photographs of the trail left by the associated fireball and U.S. Department of Defense satellite information yielded the meteor trajectory. Most of the stony, carbonaceous fragments landed on the Taku arm of the lake, coming to rest on the lake's frozen surface. The passage of the fireball and the high-altitude explosion set off a wide array of satellite sensors as well as seismographs. The local inhabitants described the smell in the air following the outburst as sulfurous, and many first thought the blast was caused by a missile. That was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Listener, welcome to today's Voice Green. Now we'll invite you to talk with a topic about Gorontalo developed mangrove tourism. Since 300 meters long mangrove trekking finished to be built a mangrove forest in Langge Village, North Gorontalo Regency, Gorontalo Province, the tourism region currently can be enjoyed by visitors. The mangrove trekking is a crossing road as a wooden umbrella lies in the middle of mangrove forest to support the tourism sector. The tourism potential will be used to increase the village and regional revenues. It is also hoped we'll be able to encourage people's spirit in increasing their prosperity. Head of Maritime and Fisheries, Maritime and Fishery Office of North Gorontalo, Amanda Sungai, on Saturday said, there have been thousands of visitors came to the location, which is scheduled to be renovated as one of tourism objects in the region. Amanda Sungai also said, large number of visitors have came to the circular form trekking object, although there are no available facilities such as restaurant. But a new atmosphere, aiding with the beauty of mangrove and interesting marine spots, have invited large number of visitors coming to the place, although only for taking a picture. Previously, there was a wooden bridge at this location prepared for the traditional fishermen. In addition to be the location of boat moorings, these facilities often used as fish drying place. However, innovation make this location as a mangrove tourism destination evaluated by North Gorontalo Indra. Evaluated by North Gorontalo region Indra Yasin as a creative idea that is expected can be a source of income for the village to prosper people in the region. He hoped the local government immediately arranged the program to develop the object by involving the local people to realize the purpose. He also hoped the location becomes one of choices among popular educational tourism in Gorontalo province. In the near future, the development program, which is aimed at promoting marine and fishery sector in the region, including mud crab cultivation, through the Coastal Community Development Program, International Fund for Agriculture Development, which will collaborate with the village to be developed as a tourism destination. Until now, the visitors have not been paid fees, but if the management is handed over to village government, hopefully they can innovate to get village earning through the prepared facilities. The location of mangrove tourism in Langge village is taken 15 minutes from Molingkapoto region, located in the Trans-Sulawesi Highway. That was today's Voice Green. Listener, welcome to News in Brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo reminded his ministers and staffs to intensify the first phase of law reform, namely the Saber Pungli, or Illegal Levies Eradication Task Force in public service sector. It was stated in his opening remark on the Cabinet Limited Meeting on Law Reform Phase 2 on Tuesday in Jakarta. Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Wiranto stated that the operation of illegal levies eradication Saber Pungli as part of the first stage of legal reform is getting a warm welcome from the people. Based on the report, the government has carried out 81 operations against extortion public service centers. He also stressed that the operation will continue to free the community from illegal levies. Indonesian Transportation Ministry is getting more promote cooperation with the United States in increasing aviation capacity and building people's ability on air transportation in Indonesia. The Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi said that Indonesia has received Category 1 status in the U.S. Federal Aviation Administration. Minister of Transportation Budi Karya Sumadi invites U.S. investors to invest in two airports in Indonesia. The airports, namely Kuala Namu Airport, located in Medan, North Sumatra, and Sepinggan Airport, Balikpapan, East Kalimantan. Minister Budi Karya Sumadi at the Aviation Working Group Seminar in Jakarta said, the ministry invites investors to develop technologies at the airport. With the incoming investment, the airport could increase the competition value. Cabinet Secretary Pramono Anung on Tuesday in Jakarta said that tolerance is a must for Indonesian people. Pramono said Indonesia is a pluralistic nation with diversity. Therefore, the Indonesian people must cling to tolerance. The 15th Asia Cooperation Dialogue meeting that was held in Abu Dhabi, United Arab Emirates on Tuesday, with the theme Abu Dhabi, the capital of sustainable energy, was participated in by 34 member countries of Asia Cooperation Dialogue, including Indonesia. Foreign countries have shown interest to finance Jakarta-Surabaya Railway Revitalization Project. The project is expected to improve the speed of Jakarta-Surabaya train to around 150 km per hour, or semi-express. Transportation Ministry official Prasetyo Budi Cahyo said that those countries had expressed their commitment to be engaged on the Jakarta-Surabaya Railway Project. Listener, that was News in Brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequencies of 95 to 5 kHz. You can also listen to our audio streaming at english.rriworldservice.com. Listener, our next segment is Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder. Hello listeners, it is nice to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine art, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you to Central Java, Stay tuned. Listeners, being around the flowers, it feels soothing and refreshing. Moreover, if you are tired and busy, we suggest you to spend your weekend at Krisan Gemah Ripah Tourism Village in Semarang, Central Java Province. This place is Krisan Timun Flowers Plantation Complex with various varieties. At least there are 20 varieties which have been developed by farmer group of Gemah Ripah since 2015. On 12 hectare land, you will be invited to go around at the plantation. Special area for visitors is on 6.5 hectare land. There are 3 plantations which are prepared by management for visitors. Listeners, at every plantation which is provided by management, you can get information from the farmer group beginning from seeding, planting, until harvesting. The tour guide will give information about the flowers' varieties. The tourists can also take pictures freely among the chrysanthemum flowers plantation. If you want to bring the chrysanthemum flowers as souvenir, you can buy the flower directly from the plantation. The flower which is most liked by tourists is yellow daisy chrysanthemum or archipelago flower. Visitors can buy the flower per stem or per bunch. One bunch consists of 10 stems, which can be chosen suitable with your interest. Listeners, Krisan Tourism Village is located at Klapar Hamlet, Duren Village, Bandungan, Semarang Regency, Central Java Province. This agro tour was officially opened by public on 6 November 2016. To go to this location is very easy. From Semarang, you go to intersection of Duren Village or from Ambarawa. At the right of the road, there is signboard as direction. Along the road, you will feel fresh air and witness panorama of the plantation. Listeners, of course, it is very pleasure to tour at the location which has Mount Ungaran as background, as well as beautiful green trees. Besides taking pictures, visitors can also add knowledge about cultivation of chrysanthemum flowers. The fresh air of Krisan Gemah Ripah Tourism Village makes you comfortable to stay longer. So, what are you waiting for? Come to Central Java and do not forget to stop at Krisan Gemah Ripah Tourism Village. Well, listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring Krisan Gemah Ripah Tourism Village in Central Java Province. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Listener, thank you for still being with us, the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestions or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia, or to our email address at info@voi.co.id and english@voi.co.id. Listener, now let's listen to our segment, Let's speak Bahasa Indonesia.
How to speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today we feature a topic entitled Undangan Pesta, which in English means invitation for party. Stay tuned. Listener, as usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topic of conversation. I'll say them slowly and you can repeat after me. Undangan pesta. Undangan pesta in English, invitation of party. Hello. Hello. In English, hello. Bagaimana kabarmu? Bagaimana kabarmu? In English, how are you? Mengundang. Mengundang in English, to invite. Pesta malam tahun baru. Pesta malam tahun baru. In English, New Year Eve party. Hari Sabtu. Hari Sabtu. Saturday. Menyenangkan. Menyenangkan. Be pleasure or be fun. Teman kantor. Teman kantor. Office colleagues. Jangan lupa. Jangan lupa. Do not forget. Adik. Adik. Younger sister or younger brother. Tentu. Tentu. Of course. Terima kasih. Terima kasih. Thank you. Harus. Harus. Must. Pergi sekarang. Pergi sekarang. To go now. Selamat tinggal. Selamat tinggal. Goodbye. Sampai jumpa. Sampai jumpa. See you. Now we give you an example of conversation entitled Undangan Pesta, or in English means invitation for party. The conversation is between A. Budi and B. Santi. I'll say the sentence twice slowly and you can repeat after me. A. Budi. Halo Santi, bagaimana kabar kamu? Halo Santi, bagaimana kabar kamu? In English, hello Santi, how are you? B. Santi. Saya baik, apakah ada kabar baru? Saya baik, apakah ada kabar baru? In English, I'm fine. Are there any new news? A. Budi, saya mengundangmu untuk datang ke pesta malam tahun baru hari Sabtu besok. Saya mengundangmu untuk datang ke pesta malam tahun baru hari Sabtu besok. In English, I invite you to come to the New Year's Eve party on Saturday. B. Santi, wow, pasti akan menyenangkan. Wow, pasti akan menyenangkan. In English, great, certainly it will be fun. A. Budi, ya, saya akan mengundang semua teman kantor. Ya, saya akan mengundang semua teman kantor. In English, yes, I will invite all of our office colleagues. Jangan lupa, datanglah dengan adikmu. Jangan lupa, datanglah dengan adikmu. Do not forget, come with your sister. B. Santi. Tentu, saya akan datang. Terima kasih atas undangannya. Tentu, saya akan datang. Terima kasih atas undangannya. In English, of course, I will come. Thank you for the invitation. A. Budi. Saya harus pergi sekarang. Jangan lupa untuk datang ke pesta itu. Saya harus pergi sekarang. Jangan lupa untuk datang ke pesta itu. In English, I have to go now. Do not forget to come to the party.
B. Santi. Ya, sampai jumpa. Ya, sampai jumpa.
Okay, see you.
A. Budi, sampai jumpa.
Sampai jumpa.
In English, see you.
Listener, that was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, it can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you again with a different topic. Thank you for your attention. See you again tomorrow. And sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will introduce you to an Indonesian pop singer, Yuni Shara. Well listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Mengapa Tiada Maaf by Yuni Shara.
Katakan salahku padamu hingga di kau pergi, hanyalah ku ingin dikasihi sampai hari itu tetap menunggu. Misalkan kau telah bahagia, aku turut gembira. Setiap hari selalu teringat akan diriku. Mengapa tidakkah kau maafkan? Mengapa ku bertanya? Oh,
Listener, you've just listened to the song Mengapa Tiada Maaf by Yuni Syara. This song made Yuni Syara increasingly known and popular among the Indonesian people. The song Mengapa Tiada Maaf tells about the feelings of someone who was not forgiven by her former lover. This song was previously sung by senior Indonesian singer Bob Tutupoli. In the new arrangement, Yuni Syara released it in the mid-1990s. Most of the songs are sung by Yuni Syara in a production or the recycled or rearranged album, both popular songs in the past or the long-lasting songs which enjoyable to be listened. A melodious voice and spoiled character making the old songs which were reproduced or going back popular. One song which is also favored by the Indonesian music lovers, entitled December. Now we'll take it to you, the next song entitled December by Yuni Syara. Happy listening. The song that you've just listened entitled December. The song was inspired by a bitter memory in December. Memories that made broken heart, but it is difficult to forget. The characteristic of Yuni Shara, who is the elder sister of one of Indonesian diva pop music, Krisdayanti, usually dedicate slow rhythmic songs. Yuni Shara indeed has a good talent to dedicate beautiful tones into a song that is enjoyable. Coming from a family who loves art and music, become her basic to success in venturing the Indonesian pop music industry. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last song entitled Surat Undangan by Yuni Shara. Happy listening and sampai jumpa. Terima kasih.
Republic of Indonesia's World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Presenting actual news, all Indonesian songs, current issues, and entertainment. Broadcasting daily from the fourth floor of RRS Building on Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat number 4 and 5, Jakarta.
Listen live to www.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.